Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 25. I want to read these verses as we consider tonight what it is to be a people of truth in a world of lies. We've been considering the social issues that our culture is facing and that we interact with. And in Ephesians chapter 4, we are reminded of what we once were and what we are now. And what we are no longer is addressed by Scripture. And I think that you would recognize some of the things even that are mentioned are things that are coming up to this day and that are realized in our culture today. But what we are and how we respond to a culture that is filled with lies is something that Ephesians 4 deals with. Notice with me Ephesians 4, verse 17. This I say, then, therefore, and testify in the Spirit, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work out all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Heavenly Father, would you teach us tonight from this passage? Help us to see correctly the world that we live in and the great amount of lie and deception that is so prevalent, and to think clearly as Christians in response to that. Help us not to be overwhelmed by it. Help us also not to buy into the lies and deception that are around us. Help us to be people of truth on every level. And Lord, we'll praise you for the help that you'll give us in that, in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you noticed how many lies exist in our day and time? You know, the description in this passage of what people were in the past revolves around deception, what you would call incorrect thinking. And as a believer, we have something that's different, and we have truth. You see that in verse number 21. If so be that ye have heard him of Christ and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. And I've said this over and over regarding social issues. The answer to the social issues that we face is found in Jesus Christ. It's not found in our changing the culture by, you know, social programs or getting everyone to just think like a social agenda might be. The change that is needed for people to think correctly, treat others correctly, is to have Jesus Christ. Without Christ, people don't think correctly. People are filled with lies. Just this past week, I've interacted on a number of occasions with people who have interacted with lies. Let me give you a couple of them. Because you've probably seen some of these. 2 weeks ago, in fact, I had friends who shared that the national emergency alert that was going to go out on October the 4th was going to release powerful 5G radio waves that would have powerful effects. How many of you heard something about this? No, some of you haven't. Okay, some of you heard this. The kinds of things that I heard could happen where people would turn into zombies. You say, what? Yes, people saw that, and people shared that, and people believed that that might happen, that the frequency waves might be able to do some kind of changing of molecular things in the body that would release viruses. Now, listen, I'm telling you this because people hear stuff, and people hear things and oftentimes believe things that they hear. Now, can I tell you something? Those alerts went out and nothing happened. People didn't turn into zombies. And you know what has been incredibly quiet from those that put out all those? They haven't said anything. In fact, as we'll come to this in a minute, they haven't said I was wrong in telling you that this was going to happen. Let me go to another one. This past Monday, I purchased something off of Facebook Marketplace. I like finding deals. And I found something for the church to use that was a great deal. And I had messaged the guy on Friday, or on Saturday, but as you well know, Sundays are busy, and I just didn't answer back until late Sunday night to try to set up something to meet with him. And he met with me on Monday morning, and he said, you know, I thought maybe you were a scam. Now, what does it mean for someone to be a scam? Well, are there false messages? You know, people that act like they're someone that isn't. Did you know that on Facebook in 2019, over 2.8 billion, with a B, billion fake accounts existed and were taken down? That's a large percentage of voices, so-called, speaking things who aren't really there, who aren't really people, who are one person multiplying their voice amongst many as though they are real when they are not. Are you aware of that, church? Are you aware of the fact that there are people attempting, and when he met with me face to face and he said, oh, you're not a scam. How comforting. I'm a real person. And I believe that as we're engaging with technology more and more, and we're hearing things more and more, we have to be careful as Christians to realize there are lots of lies being thrown out all the time. And lies that are not always around moral issues initially. But once you start to listen to lies and start to follow a path, you're more susceptible to anything that might be said about moral issues or otherwise. And you and I have to recognize this world is filled with lies. So let me give you another one. And this one I think might be one that you might relate to even more. Have you ever seen something posted on Facebook? And I'm picking on Facebook tonight, okay? I'm sorry. But it's worth having your mindset because many of you do spend time there, okay? And if you do, be careful, be thinking. And as we're going to see, there's a scriptural way to think in an environment that's digital. I saw a post that said, everyone is the age 2023. How many of you have seen this? Oh, a couple of you. Everyone is the age 2023. And it said something like this in quotes, only happening once every 1,000 years. If you add your age plus the year you were born, it'll equal 2023. This is so weird. Try it. Wow. I got to try this. It worked. Wow. Some of you are like, really? It does? It does. It also worked in 2022. And in 2021. Now, I know that's funny to us, but it reveals something very important. We're gullible. Very easily tricked, deceived. You notice the verse number 22, that she put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Do you realize that everyone in this world that's without Christ, all they know are deceitful lusts? Deception is all that they know. It's the way that they operate. It's the way that they are functioning. And you're interacting with that all the time. And this world is programmed. It is focused in on how do I get more people to buy into deception. Because, by the way, if I get more people to like my thing and share it, even if it's the most foolish and silly thing, that benefits me in some way. That's the selfishness that's behind much of the deception that's on the internet today. And what struck me was that I saw a person, and this isn't anybody here, so, and I, if you see somebody post something that's wrong or faulty, lovingly message them and let them know that they have made a mistake. Did you know you can do that? What's the most loving thing you can do? Well, I don't want them to feel bad. They're going to feel bad when someone tells them. And I was about to contact this person, and I looked back, and they had taken it down. But you know what that encouraged me? And we'll talk about this in a moment. They realized that they had fallen for something that wasn't true. And they were humble enough to admit that. Can I just tell you something? We're all going to do that at times. We're all going to make decisions or make statements that are not true, that are caught up into things, and taking it down was a wise thing to do. Is that easy, though? No. But can I tell you something? The more you interact with falsehood, you've got to be able to say true, false, true, false. It's not real. We had a conversation with someone out at Country View on Friday night, and a couple who was going through a lot, and they had been in the hospital system recently, and their expression was people who were friendly or talkative in the hospital system really weren't genuine. They just acted like they were. You ever found people to be not genuine, hypocritical? In Romans 12, it talks about the fact that let love be without dissimulation. That's the idea of be sincere, not fake. Did you know that the Christian has to be always on guard that they are being real? That they are not being fake, or that they're just putting on a show, or that they're just aiming to please people? Do you think that that's a scriptural concept that we've seen and heard? Can I tell you that as you consider what you are in Christ, it is not that kind of thing that is fake or that is caught up in the lies of this world. What we are in is Jesus Christ. And notice again in our passage, and this is going to be brief tonight, I want you to recognize how the world you live in thinks, and that the Bible and that Christ recognizes the condition of human deception, that there is a recognition in Scripture of deception that's all around us, and that there is a right response, a right remedy to that. Notice with me in verse 17 and 19. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord. And I say that Paul is bringing and invoking in the Lord there for a reason. This isn't Paul's opinion. This isn't Paul's idea. This is something that is as Christ would want to be taught. This is in the Lord. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Now, what's the emphasis here? Christ recognizes the condition of human deception, that it goes on. Vanity of the mind. Paul describes that condition of human deception here as vanity of the mind. A lot of times we see the word vanity and we think empty, and that would be true. But the idea here is actually perverseness or void, empty of truth. That the vanity of the mind is one that is empty of truth. That the world we live around is empty of truth. Now, how many of you know what modernism is? Some of you have heard that term before, and postmodernism. Modernism is basically the idea that I can understand myself and my purpose without the help of God and His revelation. That's modernism. And that during the late 19th, 20th century, that came on the rise. Reject that I need the Bible, reject that I need God to understand myself, to understand my purpose. That defined a lot of the 20th century. A growing distancing of what is it God thinks to what do I think? What is it I can figure out on my own? And it really is the rejection of Bible truth that took place in our country and around the world. Ephesians 4, verse 14, just a few verses before this, says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You know that there are constantly people with all kinds of doctrines. Teaching is what that word means. And while it would be, of course, true that someone could be teaching things about what they say God is saying, on the broader scale, if people say you don't need God to understand life and its purpose, they are giving an opinion about God. They're saying you don't need Him. They are giving a religious viewpoint about life. And modernism did that. It pushed people to not consider God and to look to their own way. Postmodernism, maybe you've heard that term, is what follows that. It comes after modernism, which is basically the idea or thinking that says there is no absolute truth or objective way to see things regarding morality, regarding spirituality. There's no absolutes. You can't say 2 + 2 = 4. Well, friend, can I remind you something? There is truth. There is absolute truth. And the ultimate lie of our culture today is that you cannot know anything for certain. And I will tell you that that kind of attitude of you can't know anything for certain has led people down all kinds of rabbit holes of goofiness. conspiracy theories are loved by people who don't know that there's truth. Did you know that? You know that there's a void in us that wants to know things, that wants to know truth. God made us with the desire to know truth, to know things. But when that desire is not focused in on where it should be, all kinds of vain and foolish and really even wicked ideas come into the head of people that pursue all kinds of things instead of the truth that God wants them to be pursuing. And our world is pursuing all kinds of things that are from the perverse to the wacky. Let me give you some of the conspiracy theories our culture is caught up on. Flat Earth. Okay, you may laugh, but there may be people sitting around you who don't know whether our world is round or not. Can I tell you something? That is not something you need to be confused about. But there are people who are confused about whether or not the world is round. Okay? Some people have questions whether there ever was a Holocaust of the Jews. Can I tell you something? There are things that you ought not be confused about whether they happened or not. There was, and it's incredibly historically documented, an incredible murdering of Jewish people during World War II. It's not a question mark. It happened, okay? I find it interesting that, I don't need to talk about that right now. All right, it's interesting that people think that that didn't happen. The moon landing faked. Aliens living at Area 51. You say, yeah, Pastor, I'm on board on all of those. Listen, I want to ask you something, and I mean this sincerely. Have you asked the Lord to direct your thinking about what is true? Now, if you are going to know truth about those things, and that be the focus of your life to know, you don't need to know whether there's aliens at Area 51 as much as you need to know Jesus. Can I say that? You don't need to know correctly, okay, how are all these conspiracy theories working? And who's doing all these things behind the scenes? And my focus on all of this, and you don't know Christ. And I don't mean that you don't know Him as your Savior, but many people don't know Him as their Savior and are interested in figuring out all of these other areas, that are interested in finding out whether it's the hidden truths or whether it's the there's no truth. They push out who? Jesus Christ. And our culture is caught up on a vanity of the mind, perverseness, a void of truth, attitude, and often a void of appropriateness. As our world has gone away from a truth and absolutes about God, it has pushed off the ideas of morality. That it's wrong for this and this to happen. Well, maybe it's not. The tolerance in the last 10 years of people's, well, maybe that's not actually bad. It's growing all the time, the tolerance for evil, okay? That's what you would expect when people push out God. Look at verse number 19 as well. The Bible says, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. I should say at the end of verse 18, they're having their understanding darkened, is another part. Understanding darkened. In Romans chapter 1, it says, in verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became what? Fools. The Bible declares that these people in the world today are alienated from the life of God through something. What is it that it's through? Verse 18, alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. And verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto all kinds of sensual and self-serving sins. The greed aspect, the unsatiable appetite for wickedness, that is what's fueling the deception of the day. People will promote things on Facebook if it brings them dollars. If it's not true, but it brings them dollars. Have you heard of bots? You've heard this term? Okay. Do you know what that is? Influence peddling. Have you heard that expression? That is monetary. Okay. If I can make people think something, there's a dollar amount attached to that. And greed is working all the time to focus and shift what people think about everything from politicians to political issues to economics. It's all over the place connected to a greed. All right. Does the Bible recognize that? Does Christ recognize that? Yes. This isn't a modern day problem. This is something that has been in existence because of the wickedness of the heart. All right. Here's the second thing. Not only does Christ observe it in what he's saying, is Paul saying this is something by the Lord I want you to know, a recognition of your condition before, but there is a refuting of it. Look in verse number 20 and 21 of Ephesians 4. Christ Jesus refutes deception with truth. Verse 20 says, but ye have not so learned Christ. Okay, this is the way that this world works in its deception, but you've learned something else, Christian. You have not so learned Christ, if so be, verse 21, that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Now, can I remind you, believer, that what you know of Jesus Christ, what you've learned of him, is radically different than the foolish lies that are all around you. What do you know of Jesus Christ? You know, the truth is in Jesus. The world's lies are refuted when Jesus Christ is declared. Did you know that? The world's lies are refuted when Jesus Christ is declared. The people Paul is speaking to had once been in those lies. You realize that? They had been brought from darkness to light. In 1 Thessalonians, it talks about how you went from serving idols to serving the living and true God. Okay, isn't that incredible that people can once be serving idols in foolish deception and then turn to serving the living and true God and to wait for his son? Isn't that amazing? Is that amazing, church? Yes, it's amazing. How did that happen? By the truth that is in Jesus Christ. By the work of what Jesus Christ could do, the world's lies are refuted. And he says, someone refuted those lies in declaring to you, Jesus, you have not so learned Christ. You learned something else. The world's lies also are rejected when Jesus Christ is believed. You know, in order to believe on Christ, you have to reject the lies that you've believed up to that point. Someone that says, I believe on Jesus and I also want to do whatever I want to do. That just doesn't coincide. All right. I can't serve idols and serve Christ. Okay. They turn from idols to serve the living and true God. Okay. There has to be a recognition. This was a lie and a deception, and selfishness is all of what I was before. And I reject that. I realize this is not going to save me. This isn't life. This isn't peace. This isn't truth. Jesus is. And there is a turning from that that's found in salvation. So the world's lies are rejected when Jesus Christ is believed. He says, and have been taught by him. Okay, you won't hear Jesus if you don't admit, I've heard lies that are false. This is truth. Have you ever been around someone that's just heard truth and the light comes on and they realize, oh, wow, wow. Oh, you mean, oh, this isn't okay? Wow. I've been around that. It's exciting. I've also been around some that say, well, you know, I can keep doing whatever I've always done and I can love Jesus too. Okay, can I tell you something about what Christ does? He enlightens, he shows, he points out things that you didn't see before. He demonstrates things because he is truth. And in a world that is filled with darkness, that is filled with lies, when Christ comes into a life, there is going to be a conflict of things that were once darkness that can't continue to be okay, that can't continue to be, well, that's just fine. There's going to be a recognition that something's changed. And he says, you have not so learned Christ. Now, there is a battle that goes on in our decisions about what I'm going to do with lies. But you have to recognize that in salvation, you learned I was in my sin and my sin separated me from God. I cannot think that this sin is what God's intended for me. There's no way that I can think that continuing to live in my sinfulness is somehow part of what God's done for me. That's just not the gospel. Okay, we all clear on that? Maybe. Can I continue to think that my sin fits with my salvation? Well, no, that's what Christ saved me from. The Christ of the New Testament refutes the deception of sin. And Paul is bringing that up to their attention. In verse 21, if so be that ye have learned him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. And then he gives them a clear direction. Verse 22, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. So Christ replaces deception in a believer with transformation. Old man, new man. Old man is dead, has no value, and is to be continually seen as something to put off. Now, Christ made me free from sin and death, all right? The recognition is I don't have to live in this anymore, is what he's pointing out. You don't have to live in deception, Christian. But can a Christian choose to think in ways that are deception? Oh, yeah. You don't need to. Put off that way. That is not what you learned of Christ. This is not what you are. Truth is where you are. In verse number 22, he says that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt. There's nothing beneficial in that. Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So there's two things here in large way. He's talking about how you think and how you act. And in verse 17, he brought this up. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Your life's actions are first going to be impacted in your what? In your thinking. And where do lies come into contact with you first? In your thinking. You may see something and it be a lie, but your brain is going to have to make a decision about, is what I see what I really think I see, or is it truth or false? Can your eyes be fooled? Oh, absolutely. And boy, are the deceptions great today. There's all kinds of deceptions out there about all kinds of things. You can make someone see a video and think something happened that was fake, as fake can be. CGI. Ever heard that term? Computer-generated images. There we go. Intelligence. I don't know. There's a lot of fake, all right? Fake-made things. Your eyes can deceive you. But what you think doesn't have to be connected to what you see. You know that Christians don't need to be guided by their eyes, by their senses. They need to be guided in their thinking by truth. You need to be guided in your thinking. He says that in verse 17, that you not walk as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. And then in verse 22, he says that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Internally, there needs to be correct thinking. So how we walk or think, you could say your mindset has been transformed. Live in that transformed mindset. We're constantly being reminded to put off this kind of mindset that's wrong and think in the correct way. Verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. He's not talking about the Holy Spirit. He's talking about in that spiritual part of you. You need to be renewed internally. You need to be renewed in the Spirit. And by the way, the Holy Spirit of God works in your spirit to accomplish that. The Holy Spirit of God indwells the believer, enabling this kind of new thinking. Now, let me give you a couple of applications about how you think. All right. First of all, regarding deception that's around you, don't be panic driven. You know what panic driven is? In your thinking, in your life. Being panic driven is an old man, corrupt, deceitful, lust type of thinking. Don't be panic driven about the times that we live in. Oh no, what's going to happen? How am I going to get through this? You know, the flight or fight kind of idea that's constantly going on in everyone around you. How are we going to survive? Do I need to go get all the toilet paper off the shelves at the store? That's a grand example of panic driven living. And by the way, wasn't that pretty obvious how easily people were driven by that? And guess what? Panic on something silly like that, and not silly, it's important, but something that is by far less important than many other things. Could people very easily be driven to do something very silly, very harmful even, because of what they are afraid of? You look at what took place in World War II and in Germany before all of World War II broke out in Germany, and the way that people treated the Jewish people out of their own fears, out of their own panic, And they treated people in a horrific way and tolerated horrific evil. Why? Because of their own fears. And then once those fears keep snowballing, it's hard to stop. Don't let your heart be troubled. Christian, you're going to face weird times. More frightening to the world around you than what you face right now. Don't respond in your flesh. Don't respond like this world does. And don't be panic-driven in your thinking. Don't be panic-driven about your condition in life right now. You know, maybe you have health issues that you're wondering, oh no, oh no, oh no, oh no. And let me remind you, you're not defined by your health. You're defined by Christ in you, the hope of glory. Your health is important. Your health has impact on your life. But remember, your life is more than this life. Hard times come in our lives. Why? Because death is going to happen. But as a Christian, can my condition overwhelm me? Can I be panic driven in that? And can the enemy and can the world around us feed that kind of panic? You better believe it. Well, this could happen to you, and this could happen to you, and this, and this, and this. You'll have no end if you start looking online at any condition about what might happen to you. I mean that. That doesn't mean don't do research, don't care about your health. You should, but do so directed by the Spirit of God in your thinking, not by panic. About relationships, don't be panic-driven. Can I just tell you that one of the things that I saw as a young person with teenagers and even in college were people that were panic-driven about relationships. Well, I've got to have a relationship. Well, I've got to have a relationship. I'm getting older, and if I don't have somebody, my life will fall apart. Teenagers and even young people, can I just encourage your heart about this? Don't let the cultures push on you about your need for dating or your need for someone to love you or to be loved by. Make you accept things that aren't true, that aren't real, that aren't good. God's best for you is not, well, this is, I guess, the only option left, so I better take this. No, no. Let God direct every part of your life and every relationship, friendship, be directed by the Spirit. Let your mind be controlled by Him, not, the world loves to feed that, and it will. Don't be. Don't be self-serving in your mind. You know, if I'm going to have the deception of the world going on, one of the things that it does is feed people with panic. It also feeds people with self-serving motive. That's not what you are in Christ. In your thinking, that's not what you are. Don't make excuses for sinful desires. Can a Christian do that? Well, sure they can. Be honest as you are confronted in your spirit. You know, to be renewed in the spirit of your mind means that as I'm being confronted about this doesn't belong, I need to agree with the Spirit of God that's pointing that out in my spirit. I need to say this does need to go off. I need to put this off. This isn't who I am in Christ. I agree with that. Don't make excuses in your mind, because how you think will impact your actions, your living. And you and I, in a world that is filled with deception on every front, need to be people who say, I know how to correctly think. And I'm going to let the truth of God and truth of Christ live out in what I'm going to do. So how we walk and think, your mindset. Here's the second place in which Christ replaces deception. He does so in our thinking, and then from our thinking into our actions. Verse 24 and 25. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Okay? What I'm living and speaking out, put on the new man. It's like putting on a garment. And so my life's actions and what I do reflects righteousness and holiness. Okay? You need to hear this, Christian. What you do in your life should reflect who you are in Christ. Can I say that again? What you do in your life should reflect who you are in Christ. Have you thought through what you do in that way? Is what I'm doing reflecting who I am in Christ? Is that a fair way to view the way that I'm to live? That's exactly what Paul is encouraging these people to do. Now, one of the examples he gives is that they don't do what? In verse 25, that they put away what? Okay, can Christians be known for lying? It's really quiet. Okay, can a Christian lie? Yeah. Can a Christian deceive? Yeah. Should he? No, you're in Christ. You're a new creature. That's the old way, and that's the old ways, that's the old things. That is not who you are. Wherefore, putting away lying, instead of that, speak every man truth. You know that speaking truth is who you are in Christ, that you're to be living out that. Let me give you a couple of applications and we'll be done. Don't live in a way that is not consistent with the new man. Christian and hypocrite should not ever go together. You know, a lot of people think of Christians as hypocrites. Can I tell you something? A lot of times they are. Let that not be known of us. Let that not be known in our family. Let that not be known in our marriage. Let that not be what our life is about. How well can I trick? You know what a hypocrite is? An actor. Someone whose purpose in life is to deceive. To pretend. We watch a lot of pretending in our culture. I say we, our world does. I don't know how many hours of pretend they watch, but it's a lot. Pretend about what relationships look like, but really aren't. Pretend about how people fall in love, but really don't. There's a lot of pretend in the world. Do you know that? The movies that our world produces and have been producing, okay, this isn't a recent phenomenon. You go back and watch things that were in black and white. You're going to find a lot of pretend. And things that aren't the way they really are and aren't the way you should think. Even in what you read, okay? I am very interested in what my kids read. And one of the things that I've often been amazed by are Christian romance fictions. If it's fiction, let's be definitive that this is not true and we're going to say it that way. But when you mix in Christian with it, somehow we just kind of automatic. And I'm not hating on all Christian romance fiction, okay? But I really have a problem with teenagers thinking this is how it always works. Because a lot of it is just not how it works and not how you need to think. Even if it's clean-ish in the way that it's presenting things, just so much of how we are interacting with other people is not how it's often portrayed. So let's be honest about it. I'm not going on a rant on that, okay, unless you're wondering. That's the closest I will be to a rant, all right, okay. I mean, be careful about what you allow your thinking to go into and realize that don't live in a way that is inconsistent with what you are as a new man. Don't be on the border of is this real or fake. Don't be that to others. Be real with others. Be truthful. And here's a second application of that. Don't talk. So both in my living, I should be consistently looking like, acting like, talking like a Christian. What I talk about, what I post about, what I speak of or share. Do I share untruth? Put that away. Put away lying. Now, I'm going to say this because I think a lot of times we can post things or share things not thinking about whether it is true or not. Can I challenge you as a church in this next week, before you hit share or like on anything, consider to yourself, is this true? And would Christ want me to share this or talk about it? Now, don't be like worrying about what I'm looking at, because I'm honestly not looking at much of that, okay? And I'm not sharing this message because we have a tremendous problem in our church and I'm burdened about someone. Thankfully, that's not why I'm talking about it. I'm sharing it, though, because I realize how easily we can share things that aren't true. We're all 2023. Take your age plus the year you were born and you're going to get to be 2023. Wow. Okay, that was shared seemed laughable to me. But then it occurred to me, you know what? If I had shared that, you know what I should do? I should post. I shared something that wasn't true. You know why? Personally, I believe that that's wise to do. As a Christian, if I post something and I find out I was wrong. By the way, have you ever been wrong about what you posted or shared? Boy, it's quiet. I never share anything that's false. Well, have you ever believed something and then realized that was not true? You know what admitting humbly I was wrong does? It allows you to have credibility on that which is important. What is important for you to share? Christ. What is it other people will be transformed by? If they don't take a vaccine, they'll be okay. And I want to share that as much as anything. Friend, you can be passionate about that if you want. But you know what I want to be passionate about above everything else? Jesus Christ. I'm not saying you should talk about whatever it is you want to be passionate about. Okay? That's your freedom, okay? But you must make the priority Jesus Christ. People won't be transformed in an eternal way if they vote for the guy that you like, if they believe the same thing you do about conspiracy theories, if they turn off their phone on a day when the alerts are going to go out so they don't get bombarded with radio waves, whatever it is that going to transform their life for eternity? Yes or no? No. I say this with all love in my heart. Don't share things that aren't true if you want to share the thing that is true. Don't share what is not true, because that's not who you are in Christ. Colossians chapter 3, verse 9 says, "Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." You know what should be more and more coming out of my life? Truth. So that when people interact with me, the thing that they know more than anything else, this guy keeps talking about truth. And the truth is that which Christ has created differently in him. He's transformed. He talks about things instead of ranting and raving. He's got peace. And I don't have that. By the way, is that a truth that Christ alone can bring? Yeah. This guy, whenever I interact with him, he's not all afraid about what's going on in the world. He has peace. He has a purpose. He knows why he's here and what he's here to do. And his purpose revolves around other people knowing about what Christ has done for him and how they can be right with God through Christ. Do you think that that would be a big thing for you to be known by? I think that's what early church Christians had as their focus. And I believe it's what we need to have as a focus. You can be obsessed with what everybody thinks about all kinds of stuff. I will tell you, if what you're going to share is not truthful, not certain, not concrete, don't share it. And if you do and you realize what I shared was not true, you know what? We do a great help to the credibility of the gospel when we humbly admit that. Are you ever going to say something that's not true? Yes. Are you ever going to do something that could cause harm or distraction or could be in sin, could be harmful because it's fleshly and it's the deception that hurts people? Yes, you need to live in honesty about that. And when you live in honesty about that, you give credibility to the transformation of Christ. And I want to be in a world that is filled with so many lies. I want to be salt. I want to be light. I want to do help, not hurt. And I want to encourage you to do the same thing. I know it's a unique challenge tonight, but as we are interacting this week with things, I have no idea what's going to come up this week. I have a sense that there may be things that come up this week that surprise us. That's happened before, hasn't it? Okay, when that happens, you're a child of Christ. Respond first by saying, "Lord, how do you want me to respond?" You know, it would be really a good practice if that's the way that you responded to stuff that hits you and that automatically gets you riled up, which may very well be your flesh getting involved, or gets you panicked. Holy Spirit, direct my way I'm supposed to think right now. Before I make any actions, give me direction about how I'm to act. James 1 might be a good passage to read. You know, count it all joy when you fall into divers or various temptations, troubles, tribulations. Why? Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. 8. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be complete and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. You know what you might need wisdom for? How do I deal with this? Okay, that's fair. Ask God. Depend on him and recognize, I don't need to respond in a fleshly way. I need to respond in a Christ-like way. Again, look at chapter 4 of Ephesians, verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Heavenly Father, would you help us in this week ahead to put on this kind of thinking and living? I pray for our church family that you'd give them a recognition that there's so many lies around them. Deception is everywhere. Help us, Lord, to have humility of heart and I believe a needed honesty to ask you for help and direction. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to see our mistakes as well and to be humble enough and honest before others to admit those so that we can have credibility in declaring what is the most important thing, the truth of Christ in us and the truth that Christ can transform others. Lord, help our lives to be consistent examples of Christ, I pray, in Jesus' name. May the Lord help you in putting that into practice this week. And again, if you have questions about how to do that, I'm here to be an encouragement to you. I would encourage you maybe for just a moment to talk to the Lord about your decisions with technology for this next week, for your decisions about what you hear on the radio or on the TV this next week, for your decisions about what you're going to do with others and their interactions with you. And then we'll be finished in prayer in just a minute. So why don't you take a few moments and talk to the Lord, and then we'll finish for the evening. Father, please help us to be a church who knows your Spirit's help in declaring truth and in living it out. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us to be an example to a world that has no understanding apart from Christ in us. And I pray that you'll help us to declare Christ to people who need to know the truth, and that your Spirit would convince them and that they would turn from the lies of this world to Christ and salvation in him, I pray, in Jesus' name.